अन्वया व्यातिरेखाभ्याम यत्स्यात् सर्वत्र सर्वदा. A person interested in transcendental knowledge must therefore always directly and indirectly inquire about it to know the all-pervading truth. Those who are serious about the knowledge of the spiritual world, which is far beyond the material cosmic creation, must approach a bona fide spiritual master to learn the science both directly and indirectly. One must learn both the means to approach the desired destination and the hindrances to such progress. The spiritual master knows how to regulate the habits of a neophyte disciple, and therefore a serious student must learn the science in all its aspects from him. Anvaya means directly. Vyatirekabhyam means indirectly. Bhagavatam is describing that we must therefore learn to inquire both directly and indirectly. And in the Bhagavatam it is said that one must approach a spiritual master to understand the scripture. Jigyasu tasmad gurum padyeta jigyesu sreya bhutamam. In order to approach the book Bhagavatam, we must first submissively humble ourselves before the person Bhagavatam, authorized sadhu or spiritual master. And we must learn both directly and indirectly how to approach the absolute. Directly means what Rupa Goswami explains, to accept those things favorable for devotional service. And indirectly means how to reject those things unfavorable for devotional service. I believe yesterday in the reading, we were reading the six characteristics of surrender. Who remembers the first two?
First two is anything that is positive, blissful, should adopt. And the determined to adopt. The second one is to anything that is not given, it will be very determined.
So this is what we mean by directly and indirectly. And surrender means to follow these two principles of the spiritual master. What is good for us we accept, and what is bad for us we reject. Sadhana bhakti is composed of two parts, vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti. In the Vaidhi bhakti state, we still have very much inclination toward those things that are not conducive to our spiritual life. Therefore, we must understand what the true nature of these things are. We have been discussing the last few days in our class the nature and the strategic process by which Maya keeps the conditioned soul within illusion. A devotee must very carefully understand and know these things, and must avoid those things which are not conducive to one's spiritual life. And, of course, in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are all Rupanugas, which means we are all of our acharyas are bringing to us, according to time and circumstance, the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we know, in his Leela as a preacher, he only wrote 8 verses, the Shikshastra. And the rest of his teachings were spoken. And he especially instructed Srila Rupa Goswami for the purpose of putting them into writing for all people to follow as the standard. So in this regard, from the Upa Upadesamrita, I would like to read the six most important material principles to avoid, which are the greatest obstacles to one's spiritual advancement, and the six most important principles to accept. And this week, I would like all of you to memorize these 12 principles. It will be on your test, guaranteed 100%. You already have? Well, then you should refresh. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities: eating more than necessary, or collecting more funds than required. When we eat more than necessary, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, there is a direct line between the tongue, the belly, and genitals. And if you cannot control your tongue, it will be impossible for you to control your other senses. And if you can control your tongue, very easily all of your other senses will be controlled. Sometimes the human body, we compare it to a boat that takes us across the ocean of material existence. And the tongue is the rudder. You know what is the rudder? It is that little part in the bottom of the boat that steers the whole boat. It's even shaped kind of like a tongue. The symbolic how Krishna has created this body of the boat. And according to the direction that the rudder is going, the whole boat will go in that direction. Sometimes you have a massive ocean cruiser which can hold 3,000 people on it. But the rudder is not very big, it's just a small piece, but it's directing the entire direction. So similarly, how we control or do not control our tongue determines the direction of our life. So Rupa Goswami explains, this is the first principle. Not eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. Because they are both principles of greed, lobha. The animals, most animals, they will eat what they need and leave the rest behind. But the human being, he will eat far more than he needs. And then after he eats far more than he needs, he'll collect whatever more he can get for the future. The greed of the mind. Therefore, a devotee is only greedy for one thing, for service. A devotee should be greedy for service. A devotee should be greedy to hear about Krishna. A devotee should be greedy to chant the names of Krishna. He should be greedy for more and more and more and more seva, for sacrifice to Krishna. That greed is required. But the perverted reflection of that greed is when we want to acquire more and more and more for our own sense of enjoyment. Immediately through eating, that pundit's name, Charavak Muni, he said that the goal of life is sense gratification. The best type of sense gratification is nice foods cooked in ghee. So therefore, beg, borrow, steal, whatever you have to do, get ghee. That is the goal of life. He has a disciplic succession who follows practically the whole planet Earth is directly or indirectly his disciples in this line. This is greed. What we can't put in our bellies today, stuff it with as much as we can, with as many palatable foods as possible. And what we cannot, we collect. We collect money, we collect land, we collect all sorts of properties. For what purpose? So that we are insured in the future to always have our sense gratification. Anymore. Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunath Das Goswami, Jivara Lala Deje Iti Uti Doi Shishnodara Parayana Krishna. Actually, he didn't instruct. When he saw how Raghunath Das Goswami was so much controlling his senses, the Chaitanya Charitamrita described Raghunath Das as such a wealthy young man, coming from the most wealthy family in practically all of Bengal, Majuna Das. They were multi-billionaires, only son. Everything was his. Beautiful, everything. He was young. At the time of life when most people's senses are most ready to enjoy whatever facilities are given. But he left it all. The great hardship, he had to leave it all. And he went to Jagannath Puri to perform tapasya. And his father and mother and uncles were so mortified to see that he was performing tapasya. He escaped in the middle of the night, went to Jagannath's home, became a renunciate. And his father, he sent so many spies and messengers to try to find him. The one time when the devotees came back to Bengal from Jagannath, father asked, "Did you see my Raghunath?" "Oh yes, we saw him." "Oh, how is he doing?" "He's very emaciated, thin, because he doesn't eat anything except the remnants that cows reject. And he sleeps on the hard floor, and he only wears the one cloth, which is a discarded old rag that somebody has thrown in the garbage. And there's always tears of love in Krishna's eyes." For us, when we hear about this, it's ecstatic to hear about somebody like that. His parents did not have that vision. They were just in tremendous pain. So they began to send him money. They would send him money, lots of money, every month. And Raghunath Das, instead of using it for himself, he would take all the money and make a big, wonderful feast for all the Vaishnavas. And invite Lord Chaitanya and everybody else. Spend it all on one feast. And he would just take the remnants, people left on their plates. And in this way, there was these wonderful feasts. And then one time, Lord Chaitanya, he wasn't being invited to these feasts for some time. "Ah, where is Raghunath? Why he is not inviting me?" And Swarup Damodar Goswami told him that he didn't want to take any more money from his parents like this. Because he was thinking that his life was not simple. He was depending on these wealthy people for these things. He wanted to be independent. "How is he eating?" He said, "Now what he is doing is he is begging at the Singhadwara gate. He's just like a beggar. He just stands." Lord Chaitanya would see him begging. After some time he noticed Raghunath was not begging. "Why is he not begging?" Because he started to, when he was sitting in front of Jagannath temple, when people would walk by, he would start to think in his mind, "What is this person going to give me? Yesterday this person gave me something. Why he didn't give me today?" And he was just seeing everybody in terms of what they will give him, which was interfering with his selfless spirit of serving all other beings, not expecting anything from other beings. This pollution to his consciousness, he declared, was not Krishna conscious. Therefore, now he does not beg. And he said, just like a prostitute sees every man, like, what will he give me? So Raghunath had such a very, very pure and motivated devotional spirit. So what is he eating now? He's eating now. He's so only taking some when the after the Jagannath Pujaris sell the Mahaprasad at the market. People buy. And what is not bought, what starts to go rotten, they throw behind the temple where the Tailinga cows are. It's the garbage heap. And the cows, they eat that rotten food. But some food is so rotten that the cows spit it out. And after the cows go to sleep at night, Raghunath goes and he collects that food that the cows have spit out, rejected. And he washes the outer portion and eats the inner part. And that's all he eats. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during the course of this discourse, Lord Chaitanya, hearing the glories of Raghunath's pure devotion, he spoke this verse. Jivara lalate je iti uti doi shishnodara parayana krishna nahi bhai. Which means that one who is too much attached to wandering here and there in order to satisfy the tongue, the belly, and the genitals, such a person can never attain Krishna. Do not try to imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. Following his footsteps. Following your footsteps means eating very simple foods. Not eating more than is required. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also explained to Raghunath when he asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he first came to Jagannath Puri, he was put under the guidance of Swarupdhamara Goswami. And Raghunath was so humble that generally he would not ask Lord Chaitanya questions directly, even though he was so much in his personal direct association. He always knew that he understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself, and you should not approach Krishna except through the mercy of Guru. So he found greater pleasure always addressing his questions through Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar Goswami would make the inquiries on behalf of Raghunath. So one time, Raghunath was standing right there, Swarup was right there, Mahaprabhu was there. And Swarup Damodar said, "My dear Mahaprabhu, Raghunath has a question. He's given up so much material wealth, he's given up everything of this world to take to the renounced order of life in your loving service. But he doesn't know why he's renounced everything. And he doesn't know what his duties are now that he's in the renounced order of life. So can you please give instruction?" So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned toward Raghunath Das. And he spoke. What is that beautiful verse? He said that you should not eat very palatable foods, nor should you eat more than is required. Huh? Gramya katana shunibe, that's the verse. Gramya katana shunibe, gramya bharatam, balana koibi. That means that one should first of all control the tongue. One should not speak what the ordinary people of this world are speaking, gramya katha. Write this down. One should not speak nonsense, prajalpa, gramya katha. Nor should one hear these things. The literal definition is one should not speak all this ordinary village talk, and one should not hear what these people say. One should not eat luxuriously, and one should not decorate one's body with fine clothes. One should, in the renounced order, always chant the holy names of the Lord? And in his mind, he should always be engaged in the loving service of Radha and Krishna. These are the duties of one in the renounced order of life. So Rupa Goswami explains, the first principle that must be avoided is eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. In other words, being greedy. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. For Krishna, we can endeavor. But for ourselves, we should live simple living, high thinking. Whatever comes by its own accord, naturally, we should be happy with that. Find great acharyas, Ramanuja acharya, how he some of the predecessor gurus of Ramanuja acharya, how they built the Srirangam temple through so many very unorthodox methods, and how Srila Prabhupada, he built temples in Mayapur, Vrindavan, Bombay. Great endeavors, but those endeavors are not for themselves. Those endeavors are for the upliftment of humanity and the glorification of God. So the devotee can go through great efforts in the service of the Lord. Arjuna was demanded to make great endeavors to obtain victory in that battle. But a devotee should not endeavor overmuch for mundane things for one's own purposes. One should live a simple life. Three is talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, mundane talk breeds mundane thought, which breeds the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. What does that mean? At the beginning of our downfall is speaking nonsense, Rajalpa. Also said that a fool remains undetected till he opens his mouth. And Lord Jesus in the Bible, he said it is not what goes in the mouth that is so important, it's what comes out of the mouth. In other words, the most important thing is our consciousness is so much determined by what we speak. Therefore, we find that really, truly great devotees, who are great devotees not in just external form, but in their hearts, they have no inclination to find faults in others. This is one of the principles Rupa Goswami explains. They are free from that disease propensity to find faults in others. They are too busy glorifying the sweet qualities of Krishna. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Krishna explains in the Gita that one who does not have faith and follow the principles of the scriptures, for them there is happiness either in this world or the next. Therefore, one must follow the rules and regulations given in the scriptures. There are many so-called gurus, even so-called Vaishnavas, who concoct their own process without adhering their lives and their teachings to a genuine sampradaya, disciple succession. And they teach so many diversions to their disciples. They may teach the chanting of the holy name and the worship of Radha and Krishna, but as far as the rules and regulations of how to worship, what to avoid, what to accept, they say, "Oh no, this is for very immature people. They are teaching something much greater. So we are not very concerned with rules, regulations, accepting." Advaita Sampradayas, we find that these things are always very much present, very much manifest for the serious seeker of the truth. So therefore, to reject or to compromise the rules and regulations of the scriptures, working independently or whimsically, this is a process that spoils our devotional service. We find many teachers here in India. They may teach about Lord Chaitanya, they may teach about Radha and Krishna, but without following in the footsteps of great previous acharyas such as Rupa Goswami and simply presenting what they have taught, they teach in their own way what they like, whimsically, leaving aside these rules and regulations. They may cry tears and everything else, but those tears should not be taken very seriously. Prabhupada explains that they wash away the conclusions of the Vedas. Better that one becomes just a simple, serious devotee and just humbly submits himself before the previous acharyas and follows in that way. But then again, it is explained here that practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them, throughout the world we find this. People are so much concerned with very exactly, in an orthodox method, performing ritual. They have no real aspiration to attain the goal of that ritual. And in this way, the ritual, rather than helping them to become the humble servant of the servant of the servant, those very rituals just intoxicate their false pride. They just see how I am a good Brahmin, and I am performing this ritual so nicely, and I'm better than you. No, you cannot perform this ritual so nicely. You are low class. That's the consciousness that is derived by performing your puja. Then it's having the opposite effect. The whole purpose of all puja is to humble our consciousness, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. That's the purpose of all of our pujas, to purify our heart and bring it to that humble position. Trinada bhisuni chena tarota bhisuni. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. This is why we perform all other activities with this goal. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. What you associate with, you become that. We were reading in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya yesterday. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I would rather be imprisoned in a cage that is filled with raging fire than to be in the association of a non-devotee. Why? Because that raging fire, the most it can do is burn your body. But being in the association of non-devotees can poison your soul, can poison your heart, can poison your inner spiritual propensities. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in another place also said that it is better to drink poison willingly than to associate with people who are too much addicted to women and sense gratification and worldly opulence. And number six is being greedy for mundane achievement. Mundane achievements means even a position in spiritual life. You're greedy to become temple president, you're greedy to become Sankirtan leader, you're greedy to become a GBC or a spiritual master, you're greedy to be this way, we should not be greedy for any mundane achievements. And the post is mundane. The service is what is spiritual. You should know that, even in spiritual life. The service, what is spiritual is devotional service. The facility for service is spiritual. But the post, without that spirit of, is simply material. It's like Satyavrata, it's the head pujari. It's like there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's pujari, the Supreme Personality of Pujari head. He's the head pujari. And what does head pujari mean? It means the servant of the deities. And that my duty is to engage, is to assist every devotee in their service to the deity. Every devotee that comes is Krishna's dear friend. And it is my duty to make all nice facilities and accommodations for them and to assist them in their puja to the deity. What is the position of head cook? To engage, so to assist all other devotees by helping them to cook with Krishna. The other Vaishnavas. To assist everyone in their service by giving them nice, nourishing, simple Krishna prasad. What is the duty of temple president? That my Guru Maharaj, he is in charge of this temple, and all these devotees are very dear to him, and my service is to somehow or other assist them in their service to their Guru. And what is the proper understanding of a spiritual master? He doesn't think, I am the Lord of the disciples. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that I am simply thinking that my Guru Maharaj has sent me all these wonderful, wonderful devotees, and they are his property, his children, and somehow or other I am given the good fortune of serving them by assisting them in the service of my Guru Maharaj. And Prabhupada said same thing. My duty to my disciples is just to assist them in the service of my Guru Maharaj. So no one in Krishna consciousness aspires for a position other than being the servant of the servant of the servant. And to be greedy for mundane achievements, even in spiritual circles, means to want some position, to want some facility, not for the sake of service, but for the sake of having that for oneself. And this consciousness, according to Rupa Goswami, will spoil our devotional service. And the six principles favorable for devotional service, being enthusiastic. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, in order to be a preacher, you must have life. That is the first, most important qualification. You must have life. You must be enthusiastic. And if you don't feel enthusiastic, you must forcibly act enthusiastic. Then enthusiasm will come. Endeavoring with confidence. What is that confidence? That what I am doing is executing the order of the Guru, and because the order of Guru is empowered by the grace of Krishna, therefore I have nothing to fear. There should be no reservations when we engage in our devotional service. Let people talk. If our spiritual authority tells us to do something and everybody else, even amongst the devotees, criticize us for doing that, what do we care? We know that we are simply trying to satisfy our Guru Maharaj, and there's no other consideration to make. It is the mundane platform to take the order of the spiritual master to be something relative, something subject to opinions. If we simply surrender to Krishna, simply surrender to our Guru Maharaj's words, then all things will be attained. This is the countenance in which we must execute all of our activities. And this confidence comes by hearing. Being patient. Patient means being a servant. The master does something and expects something in return, according to his demands. Patient expects nothing. A patient servant expects nothing in return. He simply serves for the sake of serving. And whatever and whenever Krishna wants to bestow his mercy upon me, let him do or not do. That is real patience. Not business mentality. I've been a devotee for 6 months. I've been a devotee for 6 years. Why my heart isn't pure yet? Why Krishna is not speaking to me on the altar? Why my Guru Maharaj is not putting garlands around me and putting me in high positions? Why I still have these lusty desires? I give up. I've done my side of the contract. Krishna has not done his. Many devotees leave because of this. This means you've never really been in the proper consciousness. The fact that you're thinking like this is the reason why Krishna's never given you what you want. Coming as businessmen. We are coming as servants. We have faith. We have confidence. It's Krishna's promise. Manmanabhavamanabhavdo. You always think of me, become my devotee. I promise you will come to me without fail. When? He doesn't say. But you will. So therefore, a devotee is patient. One devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu banished him from the association with himself. And he said, I will never see this devotee again. I think it was Mukunda. I will never see this Mukunda again. So he committed an offense against the Dhritarashtra. And so he said, and Mahaprabhu, the devotees came and appealed on behalf of this Vaishnava. He said, Mahaprabhu, he's so sad. I'll never see him again. He said, after 10,000 births, I'll see him again. And this is when the news came. This devotee became ecstatic. He began to dance and cry. And joy. And he said, why are you dancing and chanting? Because the mercy of Lord Chaitanya is so valuable. If it's guaranteed that I'll achieve his mercy in only 10,000 births, that's a great benediction. It's causeless mercy. I do not deserve such a benediction. That is patience. When Mahaprabhu heard this, he immediately came out and embraced that devotee. Acting according to regulative principles, such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. Carefully adhere to the regulatory principles, especially chanting 2 hours or 16 rounds every day, remembering Krishna, controlling our mind, casting out thoughts of sense gratification, and always engaging all one's limbs in Krishna's service. Abandoning the association of non-devotees, and 6, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These 6 principles undoubtedly ensure the complete success of pure devotional service. So from this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're reading today, is describing how one must directly and indirectly inquire about the all-pervading truth. And then Srila Prabhupada, this sector of our class, I would like to end here by reading Prabhupada's purport. From this and the preceding 3 verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which have been selected from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the missionary activities of Lord Chaitanya can be understood. Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses, which are summarized in the 4 verses which we have just read, beginning with Aham Evasam Evagre, and concluding in Yat Syat Saravatra Saravada. In the first of these verses, The transcendental nature of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is explained. The second verse further explains that the Lord is detached from the workings of the material energy, or Maya. The living entities as parts and parcels of Lord Krishna are prone to be controlled by the external energy, because although they are spiritual in the material world, they are encased in bodies of material energy. The eternal relationship of the living entities with the Supreme Lord is explained in that verse. The next verse, 55, instructs that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his inconceivable energies, is simultaneously one with and different from the living entities and the material energy. This knowledge is called Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. When an individual living entity surrenders to Lord Krishna, he then develops natural transcendental love for the Supreme Lord. This surrendering process should be the primary concern of a human being. In the next verse, it is said that a conditioned soul must ultimately approach a bona fide spiritual master and try to understand perfectly the material and spiritual worlds and his own existential position. Here the words anvaya vyatikari vyatitvekabhyam directly and indirectly suggest that one must learn the process of devotional service in its two aspects. One must directly execute the process of devotional service and indirectly avoid the impediments to progress. Is there any questions?
The third one explains how he's in the material world but still outside.
It's transcendental. There's too many things. It also refers to the Jivatma, which is coming from the Tathashta Shakti and the Paramatma. They're both pure spiritual energy. They are one and different. In that one, in quality they are one, but in quantity they are different. But this is completely on a transcendental spiritual level, the one and difference of the spiritual living entities and the spiritual source of everything. Krishna is one and different in the spiritual and on the spiritual level from all of his parts and parcels. And at the same time, he's one and different from this material world. So this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy, Krishna is on every level of Krishna, the source, with all of his spiritual and material creations. On every level, he's one and simultaneously one and different. Spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. It was written by Veda Vyas, the entirety of the Bhagavatam. That is what we know as the Srimad Bhagavatam. The words spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to the Lord, to Maharaj Parikshit, as compiled by his father Vyasadeva, who originally spoke it to Shukadeva. Bhagavatam is not the word spoken by Krishna to Brahma. It explains the words that Krishna spoke to Brahma. But then the elaboration by Vyasadeva and Shukadeva is what is